For several years, British publisher Canongate has coaxed some of the world's best writers to provide a modern look at our most enduring myths. Authors in the Myth series include Margaret Atwood and Alexander McCall Smith, and now A.S. Byatt, whose work includes acclaimed novels as Possession and the children's book. She's decided to tackle the Norse myth Ragnarok, which is all about the end of the world. Patricia Maunder read Ragnarok, The End of the Gods, for the book show.
For me, one of the most pleasurable aspects of reading A.S. Byatt's concise telling of Ragnarok is the simultaneous sense of recognition and being lost in an unfamiliar forest of meaning. Like so many in the Anglosphere, I was raised on Judeo-Christian and classical mythology, the narrative conventions of novels and fairy tales, and the authorial insight and empathy of the post-Freudian age. So much of this old Nordic myth is alien to me. The names of most of the gods and demigods are unfamiliar, their motivations mysterious, their deeds capricious and destructive. But as Byatt observes in a short essay at the end of the book, myths are often unsatisfactory, even tormenting. They puzzle and haunt the mind that encounters them. They shape different parts of the world inside our heads, and they shape them not as pleasures, but as encounters with the inapprehensible. Then, out of the darkness, comes recognition. I soon see that this Nordic Armageddon is the source of Wagner's final Ring cycle opera, Götterdämmerung, or The Twilight of the Gods, a translation of the Old Norse word Ragnarok. Here and there I see pointers to Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and whispers of other fantasy novels. The seemingly eternal winter that descends after the gods have all fallen in battle recalls C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and George R.R. Martin's recent series of novels, Songs of Fire and Ice. The other points of recognition are courtesy of Byatt's clever packaging of Ragnarok, which is both scholarly and personal. She presents it as a mirror on humanity's self-destructive nature, firstly through a child's reflections on war. Interspersed between her account of the mythology are snippets about a little girl who was evacuated to the English countryside during World War II. She's given a book of the Ragnarok myth, in which the child sees parallels to what looms as the war's world-ending devastation. This character, who's obviously the young Byatt, also responds to the mythology with observations about being, nothingness, and religious belief that only occasionally seem too precocious, even for a child as brilliant as Byatt must have been. The older, wiser, astonishingly intelligent Byatt steps out from the little girl facade in that essay at the end, Thoughts on Myth. From the scholarly edition of Ragnarok she was given as a child, Asgard and the Gods, to Greek mythology, Nietzsche, and the Christian allegory Pilgrim's Progress, she ranges over the subject of myth with astute academic insight. Significantly, she points out that her Ragnarok is based on the original myth, rather than the later Christianized version in which a new world springs from the devastation. As her thinly disguised childhood self notes, she found, "stories that ended, rather than going around in endless circles and cycles, grimly satisfactory." The essay also makes clear what was mostly only hinted at in Byatt's telling of Ragnarok. In it she sees direct parallels to humanity's current trashing of the planet. Indeed, the vividly described final cataclysm of extreme weather, famine, cannibalism, bloody battle, death, decay and eternal darkness is very sobering stuff. It's in marked contrast to the book's opening, in which the fauna, and particularly the flora, of the English countryside of Byatt's childhood is described with loving poetry. But whether describing flowers, the great weeping that overwhelms every creature, leaf and rock when the god Baldur is killed, or the myth's visceral end, Byatt's use of language is compelling. Perhaps in keeping with childhood idols and Norse mythology's epic, colourful tone, she lets fly with alliteration and onomatopoeia and sticks to the short, direct and earthy Germanic vocabulary of the English language, rather than the more ornate words later derived from Latin and French. Ragnarok's characters and events are still fairly foreign to me, but I can imagine having read it over and over as a child, just as the young A.S. Byatt did, until the gods of Asgard became real.
Patricia Maunder reviewing A.S. Byatt's Ragnarok, The End of the Gods, published in Australia by Text.